two local things which really incredibly set us up, sort of was a real market for us. And the one was Pond Bank at Blisworth.
Oh, yes, yeah.
And the other was Robin's Close at Hartwell,
yeah,
on the Rosemead estate, you know. I remember coming back from Gayton and stopping for some reason. I wanted to check my delivery notes, and I stopped on the high road there coming back from Gayton, and I looked down into Pond Bank, and it was on a weekend, on a Saturday, and I saw all these people. And I mean, Pond Bank, speak for itself, it's clay and wet clay and muck, you know. Oh. And there's all these people struggling because they didn't have very, even had garages built, you know, and the houses didn't have units in or anything. Really basic.
Yeah.
And there's all these people struggling and all this muck. And I know it was ever so big-headed of me, but I sat there in the lorry and I looked and I thought, you poor sods, you really need somebody like me. That I could see him battling with things that I could do with hardly any effort, you know.
Yeah. What was the high road? What was the field up there? It was Chalmers.
And then the Blisworth Road was Wilson, wasn't
yeah,
it?
That's right, yeah.
They reckon there was nearly £500 worth more value in a Chalmers bungalow than there was in a Wilson. Yeah, it was a, I said to Kathleen, I said, I think we ought to leaflet that Pond Bank place at Blisworth. And we did.
Mm.
We didn't hear anything for nearly a fortnight. And then if they'd have hired a charabang, they could, they all came, you know.
Just the right place at the right time.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah, and it was a really good move because, as I say, they didn't have anything, you know, and people came, and there was one chap right up the end there. He was a, well, I don't honestly know what trade he was, but he was a chap who would have been a good administrator anywhere. And he used to wander about on the estate. He was only a young bloke. He used to wander about. And he'd say, oh, I'll get that from Allen's, he said. You know, he brought us a wonderful lot of trade. I forget what I did. He was a bit desperate for something. And I recognised him as being a genuine person. And I said, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'm supposed to be going to so-and-so, and I'll do that for you. So I did it, and I can't even remember what it was, but it paid dividends, you know.
Because
Then,
I suppose, as well, like you say, you just got a shell, didn't you? I mean, the city, the price of the house is cheap, wasn't it?
So, the houses
were...
Afford
them, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Similar to what they're doing now, really, isn't
it?
Except they're much smaller, aren't they?
Another thing was that they didn't have garages, and we used to get orders to build garages, and all the ones that we got, it was a difficult site.
Yes.
You know, everything was awkward.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I know we did one at Blisworth, which had to be cut into the hillside. There was a colossal amount of muck to move.
Especially this side, because you aren't facing across the fields up the hill there, yeah.
And, the house, it was a brand new house, but it was damp, you see. And the woman said to me, well, we were digging out for this garage. They were mostly away, working, a couple who lived there. But one day they were, well, the woman was home anyway, and she made us a cup of coffee. And it was a bit... well, the weather was a bit rough on the rough side. And she said, come in and in the warm for a bit. So we kicked off our Wellingtons and went in. And within a very few minutes, she brought up the fact that the house was damp. And I'd been listening all the time while that we were in there, within the few minutes that we'd been in there, I'd been listening. And I said to her, have they left a tap running somewhere? No, she said, I don't think so. I soon checked, so she just went into the bathroom and looked around. She said, no, I haven't left a tap running. Why? I said, well, there's water running somewhere. And she said, well, I can't think where it is then. And I soon found out where it was. It was water out of the ground running through the cavity wall.
Goodness gracious.
Yeah, it was running through the cavity. Straight to the middle, And I said, I said to her, you come and listen. And later on, I cut a brick out very carefully. I picked a spot along the wall where there wasn't a lot of muck and been laid with the bricks, and I cut one out, and the water ran out. So the builders had to come back and put a drain in,
That's gracious.
Yeah. Just running along the cavity, and those air bricks, it was running out of an air brick, but it was so low to the ground that you didn't notice it, you see. Yeah.
So you've got to sit and write down all your early memories as well. You've got to sit down and write your early memories out for your daughters.
Yeah, my daughters want me to write about when I was a kid.
You should.
Getting yourself a little gadget like that.
Well, I think my older daughter might be getting me one.
Yes.
Because I've got to do I've got to do a thing with the cider museum.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Good idea.
Yeah.
But they won't, a bit like Tony Blair when he said he had 14 pints of cider, didn't he?
Do you have any photographs that we could borrow? I mean, one thing which would be very good, if we could come and take a photograph of the notice which you say...
Oh, I still got.
Yeah, you got the notice for yourself. That would be quite a good photograph.
Yeah, I definitely got that.
Have you got any photographs of... You said you've got a photograph of that barn before it came down, or when it fell down, or something, I believe I heard you say.
Well, my barn?
No, the cinema. You said it came down.
No.
I know round about that you said, I've got a picture of that. I don't know what that was after. Have you got a picture of the old cottages?
Only of the back of it. I'll have a look through the photo album.
Yes.
And
have you got one of you and Mrs. Allen or the children outside your house?
You must
have some of your house. You didn't take any pictures of how derelict it was where the care
through them. We've got a shot of the two girls. When the drive used to curve up round the front,
That would be very
we've got
good.
A shot of the girls in the snow there, I think.
Yes.
That's a
one-off now. I'll have to get
it's only the photograph album that we sort of maintained. It's only a small thing, but
Have you got any photographs of the do-it-yourself when it was the do-it-yourself or any of the lorries or?
I don't think
like
so.
Any of the workers who were there?
I know in the album I've got a picture of Ray sitting in front of, having a mug of tea sitting in front of number 4.
Well, that's the sort of picture that you want, you see. Could we borrow them?
Originally, I kept that house as a what we used to call a hospital job, a job you could fall back on.
Yeah.
And Muriel said, number 40. So I said, yeah. The house you keep at a reserve for the workmen. So I said, yeah.
Yes, when you have an odd sort of half day for them.
You've had it a year, and I've got one man, 1 hour booked against it. That's not paying. I think that's a big thing, is if you don't worry about money. I've never but I went years and years and years before I ever respected money. And it was a guy from the Rural Industries Bureau who ground it into me. He said, "You've got to be..." I know, he said, "Knowing that you blokes are the same," he said, "you're only interested in the job. You're not interested in the money." He said, "When you run your own business, you've got to get that money." And he said, "I know it's to you," he said, "it sounds mercenary, but you've got to get that money." But I found that, with a few exceptions, I never had any trouble getting the money. You know, people were quite pleased to, and money was tight in those days.
People didn't have a job done if they couldn't afford to.
No, they didn't. No,
unless it was an emergency, like your roof fell off or something that you.
Yeah.
You might get someone if the press couldn't.
Yeah, I had one or two. Obviously, we had one or two bad deaths along the way, but they're the sort of thing you've got to weigh up. You know, you've got to be able to write off quite a bit of money. Yeah, but you do have to be careful. You know, you can soon. One of the things that amazed me was a bloke owed me £7,000. When 7,000 quid was money, bloke owed me 7,000 quid for a year. And then suddenly one day he paid me. And I was sort of, I was pleased really. I knew his cheque wouldn't bounce. And I got this cheque, and I can remember now going into the office and putting it on the desk. And I said, "There you are." Took a long time, but there it is. I remember Kathleen and Belinda looking at one another and saying, "What are we going to do with that? How are we going to cope with that?" And I said, "What do you mean, how are you going to cope with it?" And they said, "Well, we'd sort of written it off. And now," she said, "we've got to put it back." And I said, "Well, it wouldn't be no more difficult to do that," I said, "than it was to collect a cheque, I shouldn't think." But you know, you're dumbfounded, didn't you? You go into an office, you give somebody 7,000 quid, and they say, "Oh, what are we going to do with that?" Yeah, especially two women, you think they get the bus and... in Northampton, wouldn't you?
Taxi.
Yeah. Well, it's incredible. Anyway,
yeah.
As they say, it's all water under the bridge now.